one other with that name. What was the other one with that name?
User in your channel started recording.
What was the other one?
User in your channel started recording.
Could you repeat that question? I was trying to pull up my recording.
Yes, what was the other place that was named the Black Wall Street? Which is why I like to call it Little Africa. One is that's what was also called Little Africa. And the other, it was, okay, that's a search. Click on that. Tell me what comes
up. Okay. Just loading. It's up.
All right, somebody read the plaque. Jabari, would you read the plaque for us?
Of course. In the early decades of the 1900s, Durham acquired national reputation for entrepreneurship. The businesses owned by African Americans lined Harris Street. Among them were NC Mutual Life Insurance Corporation, led by John Merrick, Dr. Aaron Moore, and C.C. Spaulding and Mechanics and Farmers Bank, led by R.B. Fitzgerald and W.B. G. Pearson.
Okay, so now what was the other name for this Black Wall Street that I actually prefer? This community was called what?
Hayti.
The Hayti district. Very good. So now go back to Rosewood. Tell us about Rosewood. What did you get from your both reading and from the Hollywood movie?
Okay, well, from what I got from it, I could tell there was some stuff in there they kind of just left out, or they made it seem like we were still below the Caucasians, because, you know, it was just that type of movie and that type of time period, and I guess they assumed. But I got from it that we owned a lot of land, and that the authorities are second guessing being as evil to us as they usually would, and maybe in some other community where they were completely in charge.
Okay. So, of course, the brutality was the same. And what I liked, even though it was a made-for-Hollywood movie, actually was made by a black man, directed by a black man, John Singleton. There are a couple of things in it that deserve our understanding. One, as usual, we were better money managers than white people were. The mother, what was her character's name?
Grandma Sarah.
Aunt Sarah.
Your Aunt Sarah.
And so she cleaned up these white people's houses, right?
Right.
But her house in Rosewood was better than the one she cleaned up.
Correct.
Right? So how is it that she gets, all she gets is money from cleaning up somebody's houses? And at the same time, she's able to build or live in a house better than the one she cleans up. What does that tell you about her?
That she knew how to manage her money.
And she's powerful.
Exactly. Okay. So the amount of money, now don't get me wrong, we need money. We need to know how to make money, and we have. And at the same time, regardless of how much you have, we historically managed our money well. I want you to put down the word appetite. When you hear me say manage our money well, we also managed our appetites. What is an appetite? Y'all type appetite in the text chat. We managed our appetites. What is an appetite? What does that mean, your appetite?
When you hunger something or something.
When you hunger for something, you want something, okay? And those who control your appetite control you. You ever heard a little commercial called Obey Your Thirst?
Yes.
No.
All right. Anything ironic about that ad to you?
I got it.
Okay, go ahead.
I find it ironic that they're saying Obey Your Thirst and they're advertising Sprite.
Yes. They are telling you what to obey, and they're calling it your thirst. So here's what they target that to you. They're targeting that to high schoolers, middle schoolers, as you are finding your own voice, where my voice begins, where you are, I'm growing up. I have my own voice. I'm going to obey my own thoughts. I'm not a child, you know, just a child in elementary school anymore. So they're trying to take advantage of that. And say obey your thirst while strongly suggesting that you obey them. And so you wrap. That's an important strategy. I'm going to show it to you again. Okay, so type in obey your thirst. That y'all have seen the Kadir, you've seen that ad, right? All right, everybody's seen that ad, obey your thirst. Because a part of economics is psychology. All right. So that's what I mean by your appetite. Okay. What you hunger for. All right. I put a link in the text chat. The last link. Have you clicked on it yet? When was this American terrorism, this American terrorist act, when did it happen?
1923.
January 1923. Okay. So you see, the brutality, as usual. Little Africa was when? What's the date?
June 1, 1921.
June what?
The first.
June 1st. Okay. Now this community was not, this black community and the white community around it was not as prosperous as Little Africa, but still relative to its surroundings, black people were owning our homes, managing our money, what's that line in the movie that lets you know that this was not white psyche, white belief in their own inferiority, white jealousy?
Oh, the one of the guys who was sitting on a porch said that Aunt Sarah's son had a piano and he'd been working all his life, he claims, and he ain't never had a piano.
That's right. They got a piano. That, I'll say African, got a piano. I ain't even got no piano. Okay. Now, for those of you who were with us last year and remember, as we studied Du Bois, that it's not just about money, okay? It's also about domination because of European psychological need to dominate as a group. There may be some individuals who vary from that, some, and they are considered outsiders in their community, marginalized when they do that. So look at the map there so that you know where this is. It should be on the second row. You'll see the map of Florida. Okay, so is it near Miami? What's the nearest big town?
Gainesville.
Gainesville. Very good. And look how, for those of you who are in Georgia, look how close Gainesville is to Georgia. You see the Georgia border?
I see it.
Mm-hmm. So you're only about 2 hours from Gainesville and probably about another 40 minutes. So about 3 hours from the border of Georgia, you would be in Rosewood. All right, that's what this movie was about. Now, what I liked about it, even though it was, you know, made for Hollywood, is what you saw, the kind of heroism in order to fight and in order to escape is what our people had to do. We had to do the same thing in Tulsa. Had to defend ourselves. Now, for those who believe that you just want to build. Now, when we were building in these communities, this goes back to warrior, healer, builder, and why that's important, a part of our everything, in particular if we're talking about economics. It was not enough for us to build communities. We built communities. And these communities were prospering, but even under racist circumstances. We also needed more defense, didn't we? Didn't we need to be able to defend these communities greater?
Of course.
But it's real easy sometimes when you start to developing. For those of us who are going business, and I've been in business all my life, and my parents were in business. I never saw my father work for anyone. He was self-employed his whole life, which taught me valuable lessons. That is, we can very often begin to believe that if we just prove to them that we are smart, that we are industrious, that we're not lazy, that we're not those stereotypes, those profiling stereotypes, then everything is going to be okay. If we
user in your channel timed out.
Focus on the great concepts and ideas of the Constitution and of law, then we will build and we will not continue to develop the warrior side. And if so, then when we build prosperous economies, because again, our domination is not just an economic matter, it is also, for white people, a psychological matter. So, we must be warriors, healers, and builders. Okay, so what, last time we talked about circulation and how important circulating the dollar is. Who remembers
user in your channel
what
is recording.
The statistics are for Little Africa and our ability to circulate the dollar?
Well, from what I remember, it was 36 to 1,000 times.
To 100. 36.
100, okay.
Okay. And on Monday, we tried to demonstrate that a bit. Who remembers our circulation here?
I don't remember the full, but I remember that I believe it was me who got off of the elevator, a white elevator, went to a black grocery store and bought fruits and veggies for my dinner. And then the cash register black person went to the gas station and spent their money there.
Who was that played by? Who got paid? No, didn't get to the gas station. It was first the grocery store. Who got paid in our class?
Nadir.
That part. Nadir got paid. And then what did Nadir do? Where did he go?
To a gas station, a black gas station.
Okay. And Jabari, did you work at the gas station?
No.
Okay. Well, who worked at the gas station? Who got paid from because Nadir took the dollar that Kadira spent at the grocery store and went to the gas station?
Wait. I think it was me. I forgot that part. I remember the rest of it.
Okay. All right. So it was you. So you pick it up from there. So you were able to get paid because Kadira's dollar that she made working at an elevator went to the grocery store, and the grocery store owner paid Nadir, and Nadir took that money, portions of that dollar, and took it to the gas station where you worked. And then what did you do?
I think I went to go and get a haircut. I forget though. I remember Ali's part. I remember Eshibola's. I don't remember mine for some reason.
Yeah, you got your hair cut by me, and then
yes.
I went to go get my shoe signs by Isaiah LaCosta, and then
how can you forget getting your hair cut by Ali, brother? Are you kidding?
That exactly. Had the best
experience on the planet.
Lord.
Oh, no. She would never mess it up. All right, so Ali, what do you do?
I went to your black boot shoe shine business, and then you went to the jukebox.
The juke joint.
Juke joint.
And who ran the juke joint?
Ty
ran the juke joint. Hi, Ty. Okay, and now Ty, where are you going? Because we got another person in class, so you got to go spend that money.
I could go to a black restaurant.
Okay, so you go to Farasha's restaurant. What's the name of your restaurant, Farasha? Or is it Farasha's place?
Yep, that's the name. No, it's going to be Butterfly's Food. Yep.
Butterfly's
Food. I like
food?
That.
Is that what you said, Butterfly's Food?
Ale.
Okay, so... Ty, you go to Butterfly's Food and have and spend that dollar with Farasha. And when your mazin comes, we're going to spend it some more. This is what we're talking about. One of the key things of managing our money is having it turn over in our community. Because every time someone touches it, it helps to... feed them. Okay, that dollar, we squeeze it because it's not we're hoarding it, we actually are sharing it among ourselves. It's a really important part of money management, but you know, and that is how many times a dollar is circulated. All right, so please put that in your notes as a key part of understanding, and keep the little piece in mind, because we've just gone how many places? Six, one, two, three, four, five, six, about to go seven places. Well, that dollar got to go turn around 36 times to be at the minimum, okay? Can you imagine that? 36 times.
That's a lot.
Okay. And it happens just like we're talking about here. Okay. And that's our natural thing to do. That's what we did naturally. Okay. It is not natural for us to spend our money with others before us. And that's not what we did. So if what we're doing now is not natural, then what do you think might be the cause of it?
You said what's the cause?
What do you think might be the cause of us now acting, spending our money unnaturally? Because the natural process was for us to spend our money as you sing it in Little Africa and Haiti and Rosewood and Sweet Auburn. And those go ahead, I'm sorry.
I think it was like, after Rosewood and Little Africa got, one second. After Rosewood and Little Africa got torn down, I think, you know, they didn't have, well, laws were made where they couldn't build it back up again to the same degree that it was in. And then also, in Sweet Auburn, it was because of integration. And they said, oh, well, now we can go to these white stores, and they might be better. They might be better. So let's go over there and see what they have. And so our businesses and our community stopped getting as much income as it did before integration started.
Okay. I hear you, and that's true. The question is, with us, and you answered it partly, and that is, integration or no integration, it's natural. See, if I just go with your answer of integration, then it means that we didn't believe that ours was better, that we believed that others was better. And the only reason that you had the Black Wall Streets or Little Africa or Haiti, the only reason was because we couldn't spend our money with white people. Now, I just showed you this morning, or told you this morning, of how Ida B. Wells dispelled that myth by having it be where we left white businesses to support our own. That's the natural thing to do, isn't it?
Yes. So, so I think now that I'm rethinking it, I'm thinking that maybe curiosity was one of the things, and we weren't being treated properly. I mean, that still has to do with integration, though.
Okay. I don't want you to underestimate the psychological impact of this brutality that you're seeing. If your father was killed because he was a successful businessman, are you likely to go into business?
Yeah.
And if the business people like Ida B. Wells' friends were killed for opening a black grocery store, and black people... there's a movie called Once Upon a Time When We Were Colored. I think it was When We Were Colored. It's an old, a really nice movie. And actually, I'm going to give you the link to it. It's not an assignment. You may enjoy it. And what's really neat about this movie is Richard Roundtree, one of the actors, decided he was going to go into business. And he had been a member of the church and all of that, and a member of the community, and so he developed a business plan. He worked at an ice house, and he learned the business, just as Koreans will work at the Dunkin' Donut shop and then go into donut business. So he worked there, learned the business, decided he would save his money and go into business. He went to the black community that he was a part of, told them he was going into business, asked for their support. And they said, sure, you know, I'll buy my ice from you. And let me see if I can scroll through to the time period where I might be able to get you have a sense of to answer that question, Farasha. Let's see. Hold on a second. Okay. I hope this will do it. I want you to go to the, let's see how I can do it with the exact time. I think there's a way to share it. There we go, right there. Okay, very good. So just a second, I'm gonna give it to you that'll go in the exact time. All right. Okay, click right here. Let's watch it. Cleve is a person who's gone into business delivering ice. Now, before you do that, before electric refrigerators used to have an ice box. My grandparents had one. And you put the block of ice in the bottom of the compartment, and it would keep things cool. It's almost like, think of like a cooler, so it was insulated. And on the top you'd have that's when you have your milk and other things like that. So you would get the ice from the ice house, put the ice in that compartment, and that's what keep things cool before electrical refrigerators. All right. So that's what he's delivering ice. So let's watch for a few minutes and see if how close this is to getting some answers. Enjoy.
Let it play from where it is on your link.
Yes, it should start at 1 minute, 9 seconds. I mean, 1 hour, 9 minutes. Okay, everyone, just stop right there. I want you to go here. Okay.
Okay.
Click right there.
Started.
All right, y'all ready to talk?
I'm done.
Good.
No.
Okay. We're in search of the question. The question's on the table about natural. It's natural for us to support each other. You saw that here, right?
Right.
And
us supporting each other. We're proud that Cleve went into business, the ice business. And we supported him. Then what happened? What happened to Cleve and his business? In this case, it wasn't, they didn't, the Klan didn't kill him.
They, the white man took, said he couldn't buy ice there anymore.
And before that, you saw the white customers.
They weren't.
Had to, go ahead.
Go ahead, Russ.
They weren't able, well, they said they weren't able to buy ice from them anymore because they were being pressured to buy ice from A&D.
Well, they were able. They said that to him. They weren't able. They were able. They chose not to.
Because they cared about what the other whites were saying about them.
Yes, and they also agreed. They agreed enough to go along. Right? Okay, so, you know. And so, therefore, his business began to decline. But how did it continue to exist? If his biggest customers stopped buying ice, 300 pounds of ice every Friday, for example.
You started buying it?
We'd always, but we continued to support him. And then, what did they do to convince us not to support him?
Saying that we're going to get fired.
That's right. Now, I want you to be aware of these kinds of economic moves, okay, that impact us. And while in that community, in that example, everybody threw down their plow, threw down their hoe and said, fine, I'm not going to work in this field. I'm not going to take it. That is, you know, we just won't have this job.
Exactly.
In a different field, somebody is destitute. They got children. They don't want to see no way to feed them. What are they going to do?
Keep the job and buy ice from the other people.
And is Cleve going to be mad with him?
No, he'll understand.
He'll understand. So you have brutality on one hand, Rosewood, Tulsa. You have the threat of being able to being fired. So I'm just pointing out to you things that would move us away from doing what we naturally do. And developing that appetite that you call curiosity for Russia so that we would go over there and stay over there. Because it wasn't just curiosity. You see, when you're forced to do something, very often when you don't want to face that you're being forced to do it, you rationalize. Do y'all know what that word means?
Yeah,
I'm not ready.
Okay. You come up with a rational explanation for something that's actually motivated by emotion, Now, don't get me wrong, I love emotion. And so I'm saying that if let's say that I was getting ready to start a business like Cleve. And let's say that, you remember that saying that I said last week, a white man's ice is colder than a black man's ice, what I said on Monday? This is a perfect example. So let's say I'm one of the people who went to work, and because everybody wasn't out in the field. Some people actually went to work. They clean people's houses. They do other stuff. And white folks says, you better buy your ice, as they did. We skipped some of it in the movie. You better buy your ice from A&D. And I'd been by my ice from Cleve, and my son had said, like that person, like that young man, I want to be an ice man one day. And so I come home to my son and says, you know what, we're not going to buy ice from Cleve anymore. Now, the real reason I'm not going to buy it is because if I do, I may lose my job and won't be able to feed him or send him to school, etc. So what am I going to tell him? Am I going to say I'm going to tell my son we ain't going to buy ice from Cleve because I'm scared of losing my job?
No.
No, I'm going to say because A&D's ice is colder than Cleve's ice. Y'all get the picture?
Okay. Oh, my gosh. I don't like this.
You don't like what?
I just don't like the situation that they put us in. I mean, of course, no one else in this room does. But, I mean, I just felt like I should mention it. I don't like it.
Good. I'm glad you didn't like it. I'm glad. Now, this is what's important. See, in order to fight and heal and build, you have to understand it. Okay? Also, to appreciate the genius and power of our people, you got to understand. Because if you don't know the pressure, then you just assume, you know, as soon as we could get our hands on white folks' stuff, we just ran to white people's stuff because we're just dumb like that. That's generally how it goes down. Though, you know, they may not be as harsh as that, right? That's generally the way it's explained, isn't it?
Honey.
Yes.
And that's not the case. We said, why don't we be like the Asians? They buy with the Asians. Why don't we be like the Jews? They buy with the Jews. Why don't we be like white people? Well, we do. We have. There have been and continue to be forces designed to have us and not. So if I'm to tell my son, oh, Cleve's ice is not as cold. And that other dentist over there, because they told me the same thing about the dentist, he doesn't clean teeth as good as Mr. Stein over there. So what is my son going to come up believing after hearing that Cleve's ice is not as cold as A&D's ice?
That the whites is better.
Thank you very much. And I couldn't very well... You know, what if I told my son I'm not going to buy that ice? I can't buy ice, son, because if I do, the white people are forcing me to or I'll lose my job. What is my teenage son likely to tell me if I tell him the truth?
Still get the ice from A&D?
Mm-mm.
To quit your job.
He's likely to say, quit the job. You know, forget that, Daddy. Let's take a stand. Now, what my teenage son may not be aware of course, is all that it takes to keep food on the table. So I can't tell him. And not only that, if he doesn't tell me to quit my job, he's liable to go and get in a fight. Got to understand the psychology of economy. Okay. All right. So, these are the pressures, the psychological pressures that were put on us. And most people aren't aware of it. And they essentially just blame us for being dumb or stupid or crazy or misguided and don't understand how a people's behavior gets to be shaped like this, and how a particular attitude, okay, very often they're told to protect them and also to protect the son, you know, protect the father, because the father doesn't want to lose the son's or the daughter's respect. So part of it to protect them, part of it to protect ourselves. And so we rationalize or tell lies when we're not ready to fight. And sometimes we need to retreat. Sometimes we don't need to fight. Sometimes we need to retreat. But retreat is not surrender. When we do, we need to be honest about it. Because there are times that we need to retreat. And there are times that we need to fight. So you're right for Russia. And children grow up thinking the lies of truth and keep telling them and keep telling them, and nobody questions. And what you've seen here, what you're learning, is an important story, and we're the only people who are going to tell it. Because it serves Europeans for us to believe that there's something innately wrong with us. Right? What'd you notice in the Rosewood movie?
Oh, when they were hanging us, there was like this maybe 2-year-old boy, and he was covering his eyes because he didn't want to see it. But the mother was saying to him, no, you have to know this. So when you get older, you do the same thing. Like, that was literally what she said.
Yes. We got to know what's real. So that we know, so that we appreciate how much people have challenged it. And whenever we see things in our community, you see what people are working to overcome. Now, to me, every black person in business needs to know this history, because when they see it, if they've not been prepared, then when they see it, they won't understand it. When they see somebody saying, no, I'm going to go over here because a white man's ice is colder or a white man's restaurant is better, then they will end up condemning our people because they won't understand. Now, they don't have to accept it, but you don't have to condemn. See, my job as a business person is to convince my people to value what I have. And I don't do that by condemning them. Could anybody who condemned you convince you of anything?
Of course not.
Exactly. Well, think about it. Think about how many black people in business actually condemn black people. And that we don't buy from us. In fact, it's not true that we don't buy from us. We buy from us all the time. I would like for us to buy, to support us more. Notice the difference in that. Black people don't support black people. It's not true. I can say black people do support black people. And I wish and I hope and I'm working for us to support us even more. Make sense? It's a big difference. Click on that link. This is
it's loading.
Psychology of economics. Part of the economic conundrum. Racism. Now you get to be a very slick system. So here Amos Wilson is going to provide us just another level. Now we've gotten the brutality of the 1920s, early 1920s, targeted toward black businesses. We also then have the coercion, right? Somebody's being coerced. You either buy your ice here or you're going to lose your job. All right, so we got force and we got coercion. Now we're going to go to manipulation. Please click on that link. Listen to Amos Wilson. It's probably about 5-7 minutes. Listen up. Think about it. We'll talk about it. Type start it. Just push the play button and type start it when yours is started. The green play button. Not click to enter. The green play button.
Microphone muted.
Okay, I'm done.
Microphone activated.
Is it still not working for Rasha and Allie?
Mine was working.
Oh, wait, no, it came up now.
Okay.
Done.
All right, Ty, what's happening with yours?
It says couldn't load plugin.
Are you on your phone?
Yes.
Okay, no, you won't be able to listen to it there. Okay, is everybody else done?
I'm in.
Okay. If you're not, just mute your sound. Mute us so you can continue to listen. Okay, so we got force, overt brutality. We got coercion. So what about this manipulation? What are your responses?
I think, like, how we were talking about obey your thirst, we're being programmed. And it's also the generational thing, but we're being programmed to migrate to certain things because we're free. Some of us are free physically, but we're not free mentally. We're still being programmed to be drawn to certain things.
Yes, yeah. And what we're doing is seeking to understand that programming, because we don't have to go along with it once we know the program. It's like a television program. You can turn it off, right?
Right.
Or begin to heal. Okay? So we don't give our power away. Yes, Europeans. Now, what did he say in this about what element of the programming? You're right, Farasha and Kadira. This is programming. We're programmed what? What did he say about the program? How does it work?
He was saying how some people say that, like, black people, like, they're gone time, they stink, and all these other bad things. Yeah, I forgot.
Okay, that's one part of the programming. Well, that's the result, okay? But what's the programming that would have us do that? What's the combination? You're right, Farasha. There is, Cordera got one part. That is, we're told over and over in many different ways that we're ugly, we're inferior, we're thieves, we're stupid, we're not good enough, we're not worthy, okay? No, the media is not enough. I want to be specific about the programming. The media is just how it's done. It just comes through that media, okay? That's all media is, all right? Words are media, okay? Television, social. But you see, it's not the media. Yes, the media is perpetrating it. What I want you to understand and us to come to understand this class is what is the programming so that we know how to counter it. You with me, Farasha?
Yes, but, well, I'm just thinking.
Well, it's cool. I mean, you're right that the media, okay, is a part of the perpetrators. But see, the same media could be sending a different message, right? The media is sending the message that he's talking about. There's different kinds of programming. His was a two-step part of the programming that's important for you to know. Kadira said, step one, you're ugly. You're unintelligent. You're not worthy. You're inferior. Okay? Farasha, we're specifying the programming. That's what's different about us. I don't want you to just label it. Yes, it's programming. It's important to know the elements so that you know how to counter it.
I know. I'm just taking
just
notes.
Typing? Okay. Okay, good. All right, great. Excellent. So the first step in the program, you with me, Jabari?
Yes, I'm with you.
Okay. Ty, you with me?
Yes.
Thank you. The first step in the programming, all right, in the mental manipulation is that we are ugly, inferior, not worthy, etc. Unclean, unkept, boom. Not good enough. Okay? And if I am convinced of that, then part two is compensation. I got to compensate for that. Right? Put that word in there. So to compensate for me being ugly, what am I likely to do? If I'm physically ugly, let's start with that one. What am I likely to do?
What can I do?
Yes, go ahead, Allie. I'm sorry.
Get surgery?
I could, yes. I could get surgery. All right, if I can't afford surgery, then what am I going to get?
Makeup.
Yeah, doggone right, I'm going to get makeup. And if part of my being ugly is too black, what kind of makeup I'm going to get?
Light cream stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Bleaching.
And if my nose...
Say what, Jabari? I was just saying I don't know anything about makeup.
Oh, actually, you know more than you think. Because you see it.
Every day.
Because actually, many, many times, and this is the thing that's different. One of the things in the mid-60s, we really pushed against makeup, and we really wanted what was called natural. We wanted natural hair. We wanted natural skin. We wanted less made up. Not because in Africa we didn't wear makeup, but because the way we were making ourselves up here was often to compensate for beliefs in our ugliness and inferiority. And so let me tell you what I used to do. All right. Because on Sunday, my mother was a minister, my daddy was a minister. So on Sunday, I'm going to get ready. You know, I'm getting ready on Saturday night because I'm going to get dressed up on Sunday. So I go and I get a can of New Nile hair grease. This stuff was thick, okay? And I put it in my hair and I brush my hair about 100 times or more. And then I put a stocking cap on. Because I was young and I was too young to get a process. Yes, Farasha, we're ending at 10. Sure, we're going to end at 10:30 on time. Yes, you may go. So I go and I brush my hair and I brush it and I brush it. What am I trying to do?
Make it straight.
Make it straight and wavy.
Right.
And then I put a stocking cap on. So to keep it pressed down like that. That's makeup, Jabari. I know.
Well,
I know.
Yeah.
I know that.
I've heard of it.
Mhm. Oh yeah. New now. And Murray's hair pomade. That stuff was thick as axle grease. So because now those who were older than me, like my uncles, who were older and had jobs, and they had permission because they were older, what did they do? They didn't use stocking caps. What did they do?
I'm not sure.
Say that again, Allie.
I said, I'm not sure.
They got what was called a process. All right, I just put a link. Yeah, it's like a perm for men. All right, you see that link? I'm taking y'all back in time.
It's floating.
It's up.
Wow.
It's up. Oh my.
The container looks old.
It is. The container is old.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Look at the hair now. Don't we still think that hair is better than that is because it's straighter? It's more attractive than hair that would be curly tight.
Honey,
come on now. You may not, but you know you live in a society. Okay, so when we are because. I believed my hair ugly. I had to have this new now. And and sisters, and brothers on the sly, click on that link.
Noting. It's a.
Well, they don't have the name. The name of the product that used to be on my grandmother's and mother's shelf was simply called Bleach and Glow. It didn't have one of these cute names. And do you see the one that says Insta Glow Bleach?
Yes.
Wait, I see the same thing now.
You see? No, okay. Click on the last one.
It's the same link as the first one.
It's not for me.
All right, try it again, Alan. Okay, so you got this programming, right? This programming is that we are not good enough. We're not beautiful, handsome. Our hair is no good, okay? Our skin is no good. Oh, y'all, I want you to know this is not way back in the day, okay? This is now, all right? These products that you see now are on the shelf, and in some African countries, they've actually had to ban them because they're so damaging to the skin, all right? So what Amos is talking about and what you're learning, because if we're talking about how we're going to get that dollar circulating, Jabari, okay, then we got to know what has caused it to circulate out. Are you with me?
Yes, I'm
with you. See what I'm saying?
Right.
We can say dollar ought to circulate, dollar ought to circulate. Yes, we ought to circulate. We got to know what had, since it was natural for us to circulate it, since we did it 36 to 100 times in Tulsa, then, and we're not doing it now, other than deciding that our people are innately inferior, which I'm not saying and I'm not believing, I don't believe that, then I got to see what has happened to have us have a different appetite and be manipulated so that we spend it other places. Because we got to also know how to reverse that, okay? And so Amos says that the belief that we are less than, not good enough, inferior, ugly. Now, and then the key word is, that's the first part. That's not enough. The next part is then we have to seek to compensate, and they provide products. So if I say I was able to go to, name me the baddest department store that you know, the most chic department store where you would, somebody would be proud of saying they spent their money there.
I can't think of one.
Like a clothing store?
Yeah, what's the most expensive, the most chic, either grocery store or brand? How about that? What brand of something would you brag about that you had that brand, whether it's electronic or clothes or
Apple.
Okay, I got Apple. Why? Because it's chic. And I got whatever. What kind of handbag?
A Gucci handbag. A Gucci umbrella.
All right. So now what I'm doing is, when I have those bags or those products, I feel better about myself, don't I? You see, that's because I'm trying to compensate for believing myself less than. Otherwise, I'd feel better about myself when I keep money in my community. That's what would make me feel good about me. Because we're trying to compensate. Now, y'all hang with me, because this is deep psychology, but that's what's run on us every day. You can't just say, oh, the chains are on our minds. That's cool. That's commentary. That's kindergarten for Aya. Okay? We want to know how they are so that we know how to cut them. Y'all with me? It's not enough just to be able to pronounce, oh, the problem is, we don't know. We want to understand it so that we know how to cut them. Now, the Koreans studied for 30 years. And I have the documentation. I'm not going to pull up now. It's, I don't know exactly where it is. But for 30 years or so, long time, it may not be 30 years, but for a long time, they studied that Europeans, because of the oppression, that we were had these thoughts and beliefs, some would say feelings, of ugliness and inferiority and not good enough as a result of oppression. That's not how we natural. That's not how we were back home. And so as a result of oppression, we had those, and they also were aware of the compensation. And so that's why the Koreans decided to go into what business? What's their major business in the black community?
Cosmetics.
Cosmetics.
All right. And they're not in the natural hair side, right? They didn't come in and said, here are products that will help take care of your hair naturally.
They came in to profit
from our trying to compensate for Europeans making us believe that we're inferior. Got it? So it's a major business strategy, which means if we want to redirect the dollars, we also are going to have to reprogram our minds about ourselves and those around us. And we do that by modeling and teaching and sharing. Okay. Or else we're not, because we're not talking about other African people now. We're talking about our own families. We're talking about ourselves and our extended families, grandmamas, uncles, aunts, and those kinds of things. Okay. So part of this is hopefully that you understand, all right, several things. Understand the power of African people and our natural inclination to pool our monies and to support each other, to start businesses just like anybody else, actually better than many people, because we work hard and we're smart and creative, I don't know what. And not only start businesses, garner support and support our businesses. That's a natural thing, and you've seen examples of that to do. And then that natural inclination that turns into business development that dwarfs Europeans or anyone's is then attacked. That attack may be brutal and overt. Second part of the attack is coercive. I want y'all to be taking notes because y'all will be tested on this, okay? First part of the attack is brutal. You'll need to know examples. Second part of the attack is coercive. Okay. And the next part of it is then based on that brutality, which instills fear, coercion, which instills fear, then it's easy to manipulate. Psychological manipulation.
Can you repeat the second one, please?
First one is force, brutality. That's the that's Tulsa. That's Rosewood. The next one is coercion. Coercion, C-O-E-R-S-I-O-N. I think I'm missing a C in there. Coercion. That's a threat. That is, you know, if you don't shop with white folks, you buy your ice over here, you're going to lose your job. Okay? All right. Now, coercion is based on the fear of number one, of the brutality or the force. Okay? Because that brutality, then, if I know you do that, then I know you can more easily coerce me. So if then the next phase is if I've been brutalized and coerced, and remember it's in the coercion that I start saying a white man's ice is colder than a black man's ice, right? I got to start rationalizing this forced behavior. This okay, because coercion is a form of force, just a little bit milder than brutality, right? You know, buy your ice here or I'm going to, you know, fire you. It's still, you're being forced to do it. Okay. And so based on that, then I start to rationalize And so out of my own mouths, I start to say white man's ice is colder. And of course, they project that. So the last stage is manipulation. All of that is to answer the question for Russia. Why are we not doing now what we naturally did? Why, if that's natural, why are we doing something that's unnatural? Are you with me, Ty? You got your notepad where you're taking notes?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So this is a major part. And the last example, of course, was how then other ethnic groups and the whole of American economy is based on our need to compensate. I really want you to focus on the part of when do you feel good? You know, when you can know that I'm feeling good when I'm just, it's fine to have any product that you want to have. When I feel especially good because I got this product, as opposed to I feel especially good, I mean really good down in my soul when I shop at a black person, when I'm rubbing myself with an oil that was produced by black people. Okay? That's what's necessary in order for us to begin to do what Maggie Anderson wants us to do. So, hopefully you've learned something. Any appreciations or things you learned you want to highlight quickly before we take our break?
I just appreciate having this class.
Why?
I appreciate it.
Why?
Because I like how we go, like we don't just do surface stuff, we go deep inside of things.
Yes, Ellen.
No. I appreciate watching when
I appreciate you teaching us and going more in depth about Rosewood.
I appreciate learning and completely understanding the reason why we don't buy black and why we don't. Well, yeah, that's it.
I see. Mo. Ty?
I appreciate this class and all that you teach us.
Why?
Because it helps us understand what's actually going on.
Mo. See you in 15 minutes for those of you who are with me and Soul Power. 15 minutes from whatever time is on your clock. I have 10:32, so put that extra 2 minutes on so you get your 15-minute break.
Got it.
User left your channel. User left your channel. User left your channel.